Well, hello, church family. Welcome once again, another episode of Head to Heart, our podcast. It has been a good while. I went back to check, and our last episode, which was episode 10, was on our follow-up episode on the doctrine of adoption, and that was back in November. So no excuses, but we are back now. So that is just where we're going to go from there. That being said, it has been a while, and we might have people that are new to this little podcast project here within our church's normal just recording kind of stream there on the podcast app. But we call these discussions head to heart. The head to heart, with our goal being to, Colin is here with me, as we talk.
Hello.
Yes, I was going to say. As we talk, our goal is to take some of these Christian doctrine terms, terms that are maybe Christianese, quote-unquote, and kind of unpack them so that they can be applied to everyday living as followers of Jesus, okay? Instead of remaining just in our, quote-unquote, heads, they travel down to our, quote, hearts so that we live out the truth itself. So again, head to heart. That's our motivation here. Now, we also like to start out with a question. So, Colin, this time I've got the question for you. It is February in the year of our Lord, 2024. And so you are already well into the reading plan. And I know this because I follow you on Goodreads. But the sake of all of us here, how many books have you read first? And then what has been your most fun read so far in 2024?
I don't know how many. I think I'm at 9 or 10 for.
That is correct. I did check your Goodreads.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So that's how many I have. Okay. And what's been my most fun?
Yeah, I don't know. Or if there's no fun ones yet, if it's all been heavy hitters, you can dial back further.
I read a book called The Rhythmatist.
Yes.
By Brandon Sanderson. That was fun. That was a fun
read
book.
Read that too.
So it was about, drawing chalk drawings and they come to life and you battle with them. That was fun, I guess.
I read that one and I don't know if you agree, but I would call that like knockoff Harry Potter. That was my experience with that one.
Kid
goes to school, magic stuff happens, shenanigans, there's
Sophia
a suspicious
is upset
teacher.
With that. Upset with
ooh,
that.
Ooh.
So, Sophia, if you're listening,
I'm
on your team. I'm helping you.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, everybody listeners, go ahead and give that a read and tell me it's not Harry Potter 2.0 with a different shade. Now, that being said, I'm like not complaining. I enjoyed that a lot, and it was a fun ride. So, I love that answer.
Yeah, it was a good one. What about you? I'm switching around. You answer.
Okay, I since I was just on Goodreads, I'm at 11, and I enjoyed this old,
me.
Apparently, I was surprised when I looked at yours, but not for long. But for me, my most fun, I just finished Pride and Prejudice, which was a lot of fun, but
Jane
so far,
Austen.
I think, I really liked, I read The Scarlet Pimpernel, which the name alone is just kind of fun, and also worrying, as you say, you're always like, it's a flower, but... That one was a lot of fun because I learned it's like the motivation. It was one of the early motivations for, the earliest like literature that would then lead to things like superheroes. That's a very basic way to summarize it. But the concepts of like a vigilante fighting for justice. Now, I'm sure that's even debated in itself, but it was one of the early inspirations for a lot of what would come in our culture, superhero culture and everything. So that one I would also recommend. It's short and it's fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
I'll have to give it a read. I've heard you talk about it before.
Yeah.
I think that I'm just going to throw in a caveat.
Yeah.
God wrote a book, so you should read widely in order to better read that book. And so I think that it's good to read. And so church, if you're listening to this, read books. They're good for you.
Yeah.
And read good books, and then spend most of your time reading the greatest book.
And
Bible.
If you call yourself like not a reader or whatever, just start wherever you can. It's one of those things. I think I am the kind of person where I hear this kind of thing and I immediately just feel pressure pouring down on me. I just want to like try to take some of that off. But just start where you can and enjoy the ride. I mean, books are just a wonderful thing. All kinds. You can start wherever you can start. And of course, starting with the book, as you said, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, our topic for today's episode, after the little bit of intro there, we are still walking through different doctrines, and this time we're going to talk a little bit about the doctrine of immutability. Okay, we are dealing with these characteristics of God, attributes of God. So already we're in heady territory here, right? We're dealing with God's nature, his character, things that are hard to fully wrap our heads around all the time. But the thesis of the episode, if you will, our goal statement here is, we would say, the doctrine of immutability creates a culture of change, or a culture of progressive sanctification. So we're going to unpack that as we go. We have a few texts for us today, which are going to be fun to look through. But one of them that is very straightforward here is found in Malachi 3, verse 6. The Lord is speaking, and he just says simply, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Now, what a simple sentence, yet one that is so loaded. So if we are talking about this doctrine, the immutability of God can really be defined as the unchangeableness of God. God is who he is, and he does not change. There is no variation, no altering, no improving, and certainly no declining within God and his very nature. And already, as I was saying, this concept of being completely without change and fully holy and perfect and immovable, that's a concept that we already are struggling to wrap our heads around as human beings, which, Colin, you're going to mention here in just a second. As I was working through this, I was remembering last night, here, we're recording this on a Thursday, so last night we had our Wednesday children's ministry. I'm over there with the children here, and I take the fourth and fifth graders back after the Bible lesson, and we do kind of discussion time. And as is the nature of these kids, they tend to just dive right into, let's ask questions to try to stump Ben. And so we were just talking in circles about stuff like, I mean, we went way off base from the lesson. We were talking like the Trinity and similar, you know, theological intensities. And we're just kind of, you know, banging our heads against the wall as we're talking about things, and just really ultimately coming down to the fact that there are aspects of God that are just hard to fathom. And that is okay. He is God. And I was just thinking about that. It's like this as we are considering God's total unchangingness.
Yeah. And this attribute is actually one that we cannot imitate from God. So
yeah.
God's ability to remain perfectly the same is his, and it's his alone. So we would call this something called a non-communicable attribute, whereas something like his love or his mercy or grace or something like that is a communicable attribute, and we can replicate that, albeit imperfectly. But we can replicate that. Something that's helpful when it comes to God's immutability, a guy named Joel Beakey, he says, "For us, the prospect of never changing would be horrible, for it would trap us in our limited, imperfect lives. But God dwells in infinite, eternal, perfect fullness of life."
Wow.
And so this idea is, like I said, completely unique to God, because nothing else has an immutable aspect, because nothing else is eternal. So even if you think of angels, they're perfect, right? They still went from nothing to something. Their perfect nature, their unchanging nature now is derivative from God. They were created. And likewise, everything in the earth has a changing nature now because it's not eternal. It's got a plasticity, if you will. So not only can everything be malleable, formable in this universe, but it has an appointed creation and appointed ending. And that's not so with God. He's eternal. So he's eternally unchanging. He is perfect in all his ways. And so this is one of the reasons why God is so absolutely trustworthy and worthy of our praise and adoration. But because our ever-changing world, we kind of all follow in the pattern of changing. So we grow up and we change. Culture changes over time. Opinions can change. Science changes. Comedy changes. And math can change too, right? And so in this type of world that is always changing, human beings find themselves, and I think you guys can resonate with this, we find ourselves desiring a constant, a sustained, an immutable something. So in another sense, with the constant changes of everything around us, we also seem to desire to remain the same. So I work at a hardware store, and so many times people come in with their item, their tool, a lot of times it's lamps for whatever reason, that is 70 years old and just destroyed. But because they've had it for so long, they're going to want to spend $30 to fix it rather than just buying the $30 new one that they could get and is much needed at that point. So we kind of have this idea that everything's always changing, but we somehow also want to kind of resist change. But change is a good thing.
Huh.
And especially when we're having this conversation. Change is good because we are not God.
Huh.
And the doctrine of God's immutability creates in our hearts. So if we take that doctrine from our mind and push it down into our hearts, it creates this persistent conforming to his unchanging image. God does not change. His nature, his word, his actions, this doctrine does not change. Therefore, we must.
Yeah, so that's really the heart of our discussion today, right? God's very nature, his very character of holiness that is unchanging, that is a driving factor in the Christian call to be continually growing or continually changing to be more like him. God is in the business of working in our hearts and our lives to transform and renew us day by day. Romans 12:2 is another text for us that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, without unpacking this entire verse, generally, here's the summary. The pattern for us as believers and followers of Jesus, the pattern is not to conform to the world's ways, but by the renewing of our minds, we be transformed unto God's will for us. This call of God, because this is his instruction, his call for us, this call of God is one that we can fully trust, even as you were just sharing, Colin, that God is fully trustworthy, because God's word is unchanging. So he's never going to go back on his word, never going to go back on his promises here. Now, there are all kinds of, you know, spiraling rabbit trails of discussion we can you know, go down with that kind of flow from this central concept. But for this episode today, we are focusing, again, on the doctrine of God's immutability. So his character and this unique to him attribute alone. So, yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ and things like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our other fellow believers around us, too, these are all essential in the process of being renewed and transformed as believers. However, the character of God, things like this doctrinal reality, it's entirely connected. Only our Almighty God is worthy of being supernaturally transformed and renewed unto as his children.
That's a good point. I like that. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that both society standards and God's standards are kind of impossible to keep up with, right?
Huh.
You can't keep up with God because he's God. And you can't keep up with society because society is constantly telling you what's in and what's out. With culture and society and all these things encased in that, there is this unknown aspect that keeps you in the dark. Will this ideology be right in 10 years? Or will it be seen as wrong? Or will this still be a thing? Or will this not be? Or will this theory of evolution still be what's pointed to in the textbooks or not? You know, and so we don't know.
Sure.
There's this dark aspect. But God revealed himself to us in his word. We know who he has been, who he is right now, and who he will continue to be. And because of that, it gives us reassurance as Christians for the freedom through the power that he supplies to pursue him with everything we are, knowing that day after day, he's going to be the same. So Hebrews 13 says that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. We looked at the Malachi verse. God doesn't change. Because he doesn't change, we change unto him, like Ben said. We said at the beginning, progressive sanctification. That's kind of big words, but basically meaning you're progressively becoming more like Jesus. You're progressively becoming more holy. And so when we change into more of what Jesus looks like, we kind of set out on this lifelong journey following assured perfection in all things. And that's comforting because I am not going to base my life on a theory or a scientific estimation or even what this world has to offer that is constantly changing. But I'm basing my decisions, my motivations, my ambitions on who the Lord is, and he does not change. Another verse from Hebrews that is helpful says, "And you, Lord, have laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end.
Hey, man, what a promise. And again, I'm just encouraged in the fact that we can fully trust it. This is not shifting and changing with time. This is God's immutable word for us. Well, just a recap of what we are aiming for with this episode. Our main point, the doctrine of God's immutability creates a culture of progressive sanctification. Or said another way, for Christians, the doctrine of God's unchangeability creates a culture of positive change or positive growth. Again, dealing with sanctification.
Yeah, and change and growth, they're good, so pursue them. But aim your change at the one who doesn't change, you know? That's where you're going. Not with, you know, what fad is in and what's out. I just want to reiterate that because I feel like that's often our inclination is to go to something that is going to change in the future. And yet we need to go to God who doesn't change and pursue and change into that, into Him as much as we can.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's all we have for today. Let me go ahead and pray for us as we wrap up. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I'm so thankful that you are unchanging in all your ways. I praise you that as your children, we can trust you and your promises without hesitation. I just ask that you be with each one listening now as they get back to whatever's next on their plate today. And it is, of course, in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen.